It is Friday, the first day of April 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ahead on Ozarks, Dan Kraft from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers discusses legislation passed during the 88th General Assembly that didn't make the headlines. Also, the Northwest Arkansas Lacrosse Club prepares to host teams from neighboring states during Saturday's Lacrosse Fest in Bentonville.
And we'll continue our series on undergraduate research at the University of Arkansas. But first, the Arkansas legislature is heading home after a last-minute move to defund a state agency found resolution. As Kelly McNeil from KUAR in Little Rock reports, the brouhaha arose over that most controversial of issues, federal health care reform.
Republicans in the House made their stand with the last tool at their disposal, blocking a funding bill, which requires a three-quarters majority to pass. That got everyone's notice, including Governor Beebe.
You know, I was worried they'd go home without a budget, which had been the first time I'd have seen that.
Specifically, no budget for the state insurance department. That's the agency that's trying to implement parts of the federal health care overhaul. Agency Director Jay Bradford told lawmakers that failure to do so would mean the federal government stepping in to do it.
I think almost everybody would have to agree, hopefully, that we want the regulatory function for Arkansans here in Arkansas.
But many Republicans did not agree. They hope the federal law will be struck down and don't want the state taking any part in it right now, not even using federal money. So the insurance department's budget was unacceptable because it had a section dedicated to the planning of healthcare implementation. Three times it was voted down. Minority Leader John Burris says the intent wasn't to let the entire agency die.
It was a $70 million appropriation. There was $1 million of it that people contested with. We could have still voted on the rest and not had a problem. That motion was made three or four times and voted down every time.
With both sides pointing fingers and just a day and a half left in the session, the potential for breakdown seemed high. But a deal was made, or at least a way for everyone to save face. Another measure on healthcare implementation, not a funding bill, was still alive in the House. It has now been sent to interim study without being passed. Republican John Burris says that satisfies the conservative House members.
Sending that bill to interim study certainly slows down the implementation of the federal healthcare reform and lets the current membership, take a look at it and be involved in the process.
But the Democratic sponsor of that bill, Representative Fred Allen, says there was no quid pro quo.
No deal was made.
Allen says his bill would have run into trouble in the state Senate anyway.
The reason why I decided to put the bill in interim study, it's clear that I had the votes to get it out of the House, but down on the other end of the hall may have created some problems.
What this does to the shape of healthcare overhaul in Arkansas isn't clear. Representative Allen says the agency can continue with its planning just without the endorsement of the state legislature. Under the federal law, by 2014, the state will have a health insurance exchange, which aims to make health coverage more accessible. To avoid federal takeover, the state has to show progress by January of 2013 in creating the exchange. Governor Beebe doesn't think having a measure in interim study will be good enough.
They should have passed that. If you wanted Arkansas to be in charge, but I think there were Republicans and Democrats alike that were afraid of that. For whatever reason, I think there's a lot of misinformation.
Beebe says he wouldn't try to put the exchange in place by issuing an executive order, though. Both sides say they didn't lose this fight. One triumph is sure. Lawmakers will end the legislative session today, battle-weary but on schedule.
Kelly McNeil with our content partner KUAR in Little Rock filed that story for Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. The 88th General Assembly has dealt with many big-ticket items, tax cuts, such as the grocery tax cut, redistricting, health care, but so much more. Scores, dozens, hundreds of other bills have become law or will become law, many of them affecting us in Northwest Arkansas. That will be the subject of an article that's in Sunday's editions of Northwest Arkansas newspapers, and fingerprints on that. At least some of them belong to Dan Kraft, who is Special Projects Reporter. Welcome back.
Thanks, Kyle. It's going to be me and Ron Wood looking at several different things this week.
And it is true that while there are certain things we all talked about during the legislative session, there are these other things that get approved, and we kind of, even if we paid attention for a day, they've kind of been rolled back to the back of our mind now.
Sure, we're not talking about the grocery tax or the redistricting that's gotten so much attention in the general public, in the media. These are ones that you probably wouldn't notice until you got a ticket or noticed a license plate that you didn't know where it came from.
Well, give me an example of a couple.
Well, you're familiar with the hog tags, the University of Arkansas booster
sure.
tags and veteran tags, firefighter tags. Well, there's another new institution in Northwest Arkansas that got a law passed that they're going to be allowed to issue tags as well.
And that is?
That's going to be Northwest Arkansas Community College.
Oh, so if you want to support Northwest Arkansas Community College, your license plate can show that.
Right. It's probably going to be a year before they can get them all out and get all the rules defined and everything. And since they don't have a sports program, I'm not sure what the logo will look like.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
You don't have to have a sports program. Okay, so new license plates?
Sure. And as long as we're talking cars, there are some new rules about which police agencies can or can't patrol interstates.
Hmm.
Yeah. And there are also new rules about when you're trying to talk on the cell phone while you're driving. Those police you see may pull you over in certain areas. And we'll take a look at what some of those new restrictions are.
Okay, so we'll find out about that. What else?
You're familiar with the idea that hospitals and other medical providers have to call the police when someone shows up with a gunshot wound
right.
or a stab wound.
Right.
Well, now certain burns as well will have to be reported if they can be reasonably connected to criminal activity. Chemical burns from a meth lab, a possible arson, etc.
When you're researching and you find these bills that have been passed, I guess then you call hospitals because, I mean, hospitals, this will change things for them.
Sure. Sure. Ron's got several calls into the local hospitals to see what the additional workload on that reporting is, talking to some of the officers about, you know, what they could get out of that information.
Anything else that you guys research?
We also looked at one that actually came out of a local case here in Fayetteville. It has to do with adoption fraud. A young woman was arrested. She'd promised her baby to three different couples, taking money from all of them. Nobody got the baby. She kept it. Well, they went to charge her with adoption fraud or something similar and found there really wasn't any such crime. Now there is.
Hmm, interesting. How did you go about deciding which of the bills that will become laws to put in the story?
It's actually going to be a series of smaller stories. Mm-hmm. One looks at each bill. And we just went through the legislative website looking for anything we hadn't addressed already, i.e. we're throwing out the grocery tax and the redistricting, et cetera, and looked for anything that just had an impact around here. Would you be confused to see an NWAC license plate? Because nobody ever has before. Well, there's one.
Right. And I guess this is part of, because so many things get passed, you can't put them in the daily paper every day.
No, it's impossible to keep up with all of them, and there are space issues.
So this is part of what you can do as a reporter?
Sure. It's sort of a wrap-up to let everybody know what else is out there on the fringes that we haven't been addressing.
And some of them are phasing at different times, right? Some come in on fiscal year or calendar year.
Right. And then some of them, obviously, like the license plate law, will become a law at a certain point, but the license plates won't show up the next day.
Anything else you're going to tell us about?
Well, we've got something about ATVs and who's allowed to ride them where, too, but we're still trying to pull that one together, so we'll see.
So all the articles are on Sunday in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Yep.
Dan, thank you very much.
Kyle, appreciate it.
On a brisk Monday evening, members of the girls' Northwest Arkansas lacrosse club team practice cradling and positioning during a 3-on-2 drill. The Northwest Arkansas Lacrosse Club has been a part of the community for about 5 years, and participants are hopeful more local residents will become aware of the league with this weekend's Lacrosse Fest. Daisha Bimler is the head coach for the girls' program.
Lacrosse Fest, or as we kind of coin it, in the lacrosse family, we say Lax Fest, but of course we want to say Lacrosse Fest because everyone doesn't know what Lax Fest is. But Saturday is going to be so much fun because Phillips Park is going to turn into an all-day lacrosse event. We've got people coming in from Kansas, and we've got Oklahoma, and I believe even a Missouri team that's coming in, and we're going to play an entire full day starting at, I think, around 8:39 and going all the way to 6 p.m. And the younger ones are going to play in the morning. And then the high school are all going to play, girls and boys, from 1 o'clock on till 6 o'clock. and it's going to be a full-fledged. We've got Edmond, Oklahoma coming, Shawnee. We also have Wichita, Kansas coming. So that just names a few of the other teams that are driving 3 to 4 hours to come down and play literally just amazing games of lacrosse. It's not a tournament per se. There's not going to be like a winner, but this is just basically a testament of what people, what teams are doing in the area of other growing areas to do to come and play several games of lacrosse and help grow awareness in our areas.
Bimler played lacrosse in high school and in college at TCU. After moving to Northwest Arkansas for a job, she learned the lacrosse league was looking for coaches and has been helping for 3 years. Players practice twice a week during the season and once a week during the fall. Bimler says the teams are comprised of both novice and experienced players, and many of them are active in other sports.
What we love about this sport is you'll find a lot of girls and even guys on this team. We have a lot of athletes that play other sports, track, cross country, soccer, basketball, and that's great because this is a great sport that they run the whole field. And obviously it takes a lot of endurance and conditioning. So that gets them in shape for the other sports that they play, which we get excited about because that gets them faster for lacrosse too. And gives them new ideas to play. But on the other hand, having this new sport in the area, what we found has been really exciting is we're getting new girls and guys that really haven't jumped into a sport yet. So, and they're picking it up nicely. So we're really excited, especially to engage people that otherwise aren't maybe having anything athletic in their lives right now or getting out and playing, conditioning themselves, which is, of course, getting them in shape more. And I mean, look how much fun they're having.
Saturday's Lacrosse Fest will not only provide players with an opportunity to play several games, but also allow local residents to learn more about the sport.
Our mission is to grow awareness and provide lacrosse to everyone in Northwest Arkansas. So we partner with, you know, the University of Arkansas has a men's and a women's team. We partner with them to build awareness of their groups. We hope that, you know, eventually we can become big enough to support adult league play so they can get out, especially people that have played in high school or college in the past and now work in this community. So our big thing is to promote and provide lacrosse in the Northwest Arkansas area for all that are interested and just really, you know, help grow this sport. It's the fastest growing sport on 2 feet in the USA right now. So it needs to be here. We're an amazing community and we've definitely got the right mix of people. So we just got to get more awareness.
Bimler says there are teams available for kids of all ages and parents will have the opportunity to sign up some of their younger children during Lacrosse Fest.
Our YMCA Little Lac Scoopers, which is that kindergarten through fifth grade program, K through 3 for the boys, K through 5 for the girls, will actually be holding registration during Lacrosse Fest or Lacrosse Fest Saturday because they start their practices April 7th. So it's a great opportunity for all the teams to just kind of gain experience, play each other. Also, we've got new refs. We're trying to get new refs in the area. So it gives them some experience to practice what they've learned in training. So it's really just all about, you know, growing the sport and, of course, competitive play. We all love that. So
during Saturday's Lacrosse Fest, all games will be played at Phillips Park in Bentonville. The concession stands will be open and admission is free. More information is available at nwalacrosse.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Bob Garfield. On this week's On the Media, we conclude our Blow the Whistle crowdsourcing project with a look at what effect you all had on our elected representatives.
It's because there's a spotlight on this that they'll be under a political imperative to do what they say they stand for.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
on the media Sunday morning at 11 on KUAF 91.3 FM. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
A few items that you should know about as we get closer to the weekend.
The Agricultural Mechanization Club and the Agricultural Communicators of Tomorrow will be hosting the Lawnmower Tune-Up Fundraiser today and tomorrow at the Abernathy Agri-Science Building at the Arkansas Agricultural Research and Extension Center in Fayetteville. Participants can drop off lawnmowers between 1 and 6 today and from 8 to 11 tomorrow. All lawnmowers will need to be picked up by 5 p.m. Saturday. Customers will be notified by phone when their mower is ready for pickup. The cost for lawnmower maintenance is $30 per mower plus oil and parts. The tune-up includes changing spark plugs, filter and oil, and sharpening and balancing mower blade. Only push mowers in working order will be accepted. Proceeds are used to support professional and educational activities for the club. For more information, 479-575-2035.
It's that working order that can get you. Hobbs State Park Conservation Area has a number of events planned for this weekend, including an Ozark Plateau hike, a presentation on snakes, a screening of the documentary of Bridge to War Eagle, and more. Details available at 789-5000. And from 11:30 until 1 tomorrow, the city of Fort Smith celebrates the opening of the old railroad trail located at Free Ferry Road and ending at Park Avenue. The trail was originally started with a group of volunteers, recently paved with grant funding received by Fort Smith Parks and Recreation. Tomorrow's event also features the recognition of volunteers and Eagle Scouts that have been working on the Ruth Armstrong Nature Area next to Creekmore Park. The actual dedication begins at noon. Residents can gather at the cul-de-sac located at the end of Free Ferry Road and Rogers Avenue.
The Glass Slipper Prom Project is a nonprofit project for the ladies of Fayetteville High School to ensure that everyone has a wonderful prom night. Through the help of monetary and in-kind donations, the project distributes formal wear, shoes, accessories, prom tickets, and complimentary beauty services to financially challenged young women so they may attend their prom. The first official shopping day is tomorrow. More information is available by emailing shay.hopper@fayar.net.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani will speak at the University of Arkansas 8 o'clock Sunday night in Barnhill Arena. It's part of the student-sponsored Distinguished Lecture Series. The event is free. It's open to the public. No ticket is required. Giuliani served as mayor of New York from 1994 to 2001. Since, he's been a candidate for the U.S. Senate in New York and for the Republican presidential nomination. He is considered a potential candidate to run for president again in 2012.
Janet Carson will visit the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks at 6:30 p.m. April 7th. Carson will speak on new and underused plants for the landscape. The Botanical Gardens will also sell her book, In the Garden, and there will be a book signing at the reception following her program. Admission is $20 for members and $25 for non-members. Please pre-register at 479-750-2620 or bgozarks.org.
And former University of Arkansas golfer Stacy Lewis shot a 66 in the first round of the Kraft Nabisco Championship in Rancho Mirage, California yesterday. She shares the first round lead there. The tournament concludes this weekend. Lewis graduated from the U of A in 2008 with a bachelor's degree in finance and accounting. The University of Arkansas gymnastics team competes in the NCAA regionals this weekend in Denver. Arkansas is in the NCAA postseason for the 8th consecutive year, ranked 12th in the country. Other teams at the regional in Denver, held tomorrow evening, include the top-ranked team in the country, the Florida Gators, plus Boise State, Denver University, and BYU. The teams with the top two scores Saturday advance to the NCAA finals later this month. Arkansas has advanced past this round 3 of the last 5 years. This is Ozarks at Large.
Gemstone hypnotizes Bentonville woman.
Spirit of John Wayne seen on screen.
Sasquatch spotted in Springdale.
UFO lands in Eureka Springs.
This is Ozarks at Large for April 1st, and with me is Becca Bacon-Martin. She's the editor of What's Up, founded Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Also with me.
Antoinette Grajeda.
You got me all flustered with these headlines.
Well, it is April Fool's Day, which you've no doubt figured out by now. But these headlines are all accurate.
Sasquatch?
It's just a matter of interpretation.
Okay, let's start. Gemstone hypnotizes Bentonville woman?
Delaine Cox is, in fact, a Bentonville woman. Mm-hmm. And she's been mesmerized by gemstones ever since she figured out that she could wrap wire around them and turn them into jewelry.
I got you.
She and other members of the Northwest Arkansas Gem and Mineral Society will show off what they do and explain why they love doing it at the Spring Gem, Mineral, and Jewelry Show this weekend at the Siloam Springs Community Center. I expect I shall need money. They'll have dealers in rocks, minerals, fossils, gemstones. They'll have a kids' dig outside where kids can buy a bag of dirt and then find out what's in it. They'll have educational displays and demonstrations of shaping and polishing stones and flint knapping. And it's 9 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday. And admission is a $5 donation for adults and $3 for children 12 and under.
Okay.
What was the second one? You've already forgotten.
What was it? It was
Spirit of John Wayne, seen on screen.
Yes, Spirit of John Wayne, yes.
Well, this is the first night for the 112 drive-in.
Super.
And the first show is the new version of True Grit. But one assumes John Wayne's spirit will be in evidence. The 112 drive-in opened in 1980, which was well after the heyday of drive-ins.
You tend to think since it's a drive-in, it must have opened in 55 or something.
And there's this great story about the last drive-in in Fayetteville was where Fiesta Square is now. There's this great story about having a big party at that drive-in.
Mm-hmm. And then they caravaned over.
Everybody caravanning over to 112. So it's still $12 a carload.
So True Grit, usually it's a double feature.
Second show is No Strings Attached.
Okay.
Showtime's about 8 o'clock this weekend, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sasquatch spotted in Springdale.
I know where you're going with that one. The Naturals.
Well, yeah.
Strike, the
and
mascot.
Yes, and it's not just that he looks like Sasquatch. That's how Tyler Wardwell has been portraying him. The guy inside Strike is a senior at Bentonville High School.
Really?
And he's also been the BHS Tiger. And he starts college in the fall at the University of the Ozarks in Clarksville, where he'll be the Eagle mascot.
There you go.
It's a career. He says when he was a little kid, he went to Shoney's and he told his mom he wanted to grow up and be the Shoney Bear. She thought he was kidding. So here's the scoop on the Naturals. Three games starting on Thursday.
Right.
The San Antonio Missions, second three games. So it's a six-game homestand. The Corpus Christi Hooks. Tickets start at $7.
Yeah, and they have different promotions throughout the year. And they are your defending Texas League champions.
There you go. And Kyle was all happy on Thursday because it was opening day for the Royals. So just in case he didn't get that plug in. And the final headline, of course, is UFO lands in Eureka Springs.
And I know what that's all about.
They do every year.
Yes, they do.
Or at least the UFO followers do. It's the Ozark UFO Conference. It starts next Friday, the 8th. And the headliner is John Two Hawks.
Wait, what?
The musician?
Yeah.
What?
No, it's not that he thinks he's been seen an NFO or been abducted or anything. They just invited him to come and perform. So he'll perform all weekend next weekend, the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And he says he wants to pay tribute to one of his friends, Richard Seifried, who is one of the featured speakers.
Okay.
They're also going to have the director of the National UFO Reporting Center, some authors, somebody who's going to talk about alien abduction. It's always fun. End of the Ozarks Convention Center starts on Friday, April 8th, and you can find out more at ozarkufo.com.
This is a national conference or like a sort of a middle-of-the-country conference? Isn't there something that... Or are these people from all over?
Oh, these are people from all over.
All over.
Yeah.
Okay.
And places we may not have ever been.
Exactly.
And so it wasn't an April Fool's Day joke after all.
That's right.
And neither are these things that you should remember. George's Majestic Lounge turns 84 this weekend. Performances by Big Smith and Great American Taxi tonight and by the Seven Walkers tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Drummer from Grateful Dead.
Right.
Fayetteville Farmers Market and the West Fork Farmers Market both start tomorrow, when it will be warmer.
Mm-hmm.
They promise.
We can hope.
We can hope. And we've got a whole list of farmers markets in today's What's Up, and we'll have more as the season goes along. Today is First Friday in Bentonville.
That's right. When the First Friday is the first, it just catches me by surprise.
It confuses all of us.
Because it's been March until today.
And this is the first Friday of the year, so we're not back in the habit. The headline artist is a reggae performer, as one, who will perform at 6:30. And all sorts of other things going on this evening. Also tonight at 7, Thoroughly Modern Millie at Fayetteville High School.
Musical.
The Dumbwaiter, Step One Theater.
Right.
They perform at 8 tonight and tomorrow at Be Unlimited Theater, which is one of those alternative warehouse spaces on West Center Street in Fayetteville. And tickets are $10. And this weekend wraps up 100 Years of Broadway at the Walton Arts Center. 8 o'clock tonight, 2 and 8 tomorrow, and 2 and 7 on Sunday. And tickets start at $23.
Full lineup.
And I'm really Becca Bacon Martin.
And
I
she
promise.
Is?
The editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
No fooling.
Having received a grant of $248,100 from the Walmart Foundation, the Arkansas Mission of Mercy hopes to serve even more Arkansans in need of oral health services during its two-day free dental clinic on May 20th and 21st. Ozarks at Large's Ithiagni Hodrumadolker has this report.
Established in 2007 by the Arkansas State Dental Association and its partners, the Arkansas Mission of Mercy was designed to address oral health issues of Arkansans in need. Its fifth annual two-day free dental clinic will be held May 20th and 21st. Dr. Dwight Duckworth is a dentist in Springdale and has been involved with the Arkansas Mission of Mercy from the beginning. He says the organization is based on similar ones in other states.
A few years ago, the Executive Council and the officers of the State Dental Association decided that it would be a good idea to help the underserved population dentally here in Arkansas. We watched what a couple of other states had already done, and we had the first Mission of Mercy in Little Rock, and there were people standing way down the block just to get in. It was heartwarming to see how many volunteers came out to help the people that were in need. Dentists, dental hygienists, dental assistants, lay personnel, people that worked at banks, people from churches, they all came out to help any way they could.
During the last 4 years, the Arkansas Mission of Mercy has treated between 1,500 to 2,000 patients over a weekend each year. The free clinic provides a number of free dental procedures.
In the past, it's been extractions and fillings is what's been done, and that's been the case throughout the first few RMOMs. This year, we're adding some hygiene services where they're going to actually be able to clean some people's teeth and kind of get them hopefully headed in the right direction.
The estimated cost of free and charitable dental procedures to date is about $2.8 million. Recently, the organization received a grant from the Walmart Foundation to support the clinic.
After Walmart saw what we were doing, they have been very generous. And this year, they were generous to the tune of $250,000.
Dr. Duckworth says money from the grant will be used to rent and buy equipment and supplies for the dental clinic. The Mission of Mercy hopes to increase the number of dentist chairs from 80 to over 100 to serve more people in need.
We have to rent the chairs. We have to rent the lights. We rent the equipment that we use. We have to buy the supplies that we use, anesthetic and different things like that. We have to purchase that, so the money goes for that. Different facilities require different amounts of rent. So we may have to pay when you get a convention center. There are fees involved. There are just so many things that you don't think about until you run a program like this, and you go, "This is a very expensive undertaking." And Walmart's been there. Walmart has been right behind us every step of the way. They've been a wonderful partner.
The free dental clinic has been held in Little Rock twice. It was moved to Springdale the third year. The next year, it took place in Monticello, and this year again, it will be held in Little Rock. A question comes to mind. Why not hold an event like this in poorer, more remote parts of the state? Dr. Duckworth has an answer.
We have discussed this with every possibility. What we've found is that we have to have the infrastructure to have the event. So you have to have a building that's big enough to accommodate it, that has proper plumbing, proper electricity, proper parking, and things like that. So places like here in Northwest Arkansas, Little Rock, I think we're going to Jonesboro after this year, and we have to go where there are facilities that will accommodate us. So we couldn't go to a little town of 4,000 people somewhere, because where would the hotel rooms be for the people who come down to volunteer their time? Where would they stay? So there has to be a lot of infrastructure involved.
Dr. Duckworth says a number of possibilities have been discussed to expand the scope of the free dental clinic. These include conducting procedures such as root canals, making crowns, dentures, etc., but the proposed measures weren't cost-effective.
Then we start getting involved with a lot of lab expenditures and more expensive supplies, etc., and then you have to have follow-up visits with other dentists because this is only a two-day event. And then you start, it gets where you can't really do all of these things on a mission type activity. If you think about a conventional type mission where a dentist or some dentist might go to a third world country and they take with them a box of instruments that they might need to use, and that's basically what we're trying to perform. We're trying to get people out of pain so they don't miss work, so they're able to function. But for us to be able to fully restore people's mouths and do things like that, it's not within the scope of this mission.
The Arkansas Mission of Mercy expects close to 2,000 people at the free dental clinic on May 20th and 21st. The clinic will be set up at the State House Convention Center in Little Rock. More information on this year's event and volunteering opportunities is available on arkansasdentistry.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar.
This is Ozarks at Large. This week, we're continuing our series on undergraduate research at the University of Arkansas. Dozens of students at the U of A receive Student Undergraduate Research Fellowship Grants, or SURF Grants. The grants award up to $2,500 to be used by undergraduate students for their research. Elizabeth Phillips, a fifth-year student in the Fay Jones School of Architecture, is using her SURF grant to research ways to make lighting better in spaces for people with visual impairments.
You know, there are people that you don't even know have visual impairments. You can't tell just by looking at them. You have no idea that they struggle getting through a space that otherwise people take for granted.
Elizabeth Phillips says making a space accessible, safe, and usable to its fullest potential for people with visual impairments takes more than just placing a few signs in Braille near elevators. She says she's especially interested in people in the gap between blindness and 20/20 vision and how they can maneuver around structures. Her honors thesis will use evidence-based design research to try to learn more. She'll use a space that the public has access to and ask participants to walk through a series of paths and then give feedback. That information will allow her to develop her goal of suggested guidelines for designers and architects to better accommodate people with visual impairments.
Those answers, the critiques and feedback that I get from the participants will then be used to incorporate some changes on a scale model that I will be building that reflects that space. And then they will come back and view the model through viewports with the changes made, either different lighting conditions or if changes need to be made with materials because of the way they are affected by the lighting, then those changes will be made. Participants will then give me feedback on the changes, and I will use those then to come to some conclusions that obviously won't be final. I mean, it's just a suggestion to try to start bringing that awareness to this field.
Elizabeth, like any undergraduate student working on a senior thesis, had two very important decisions to make: the subject of her research and the member of the faculty to guide her during that research. She says the first choice, topic, was influenced by her personal history. She had a grandfather and great uncle with visual impairments.
And then myself, I have a visual impairment that really affects my ability to move through spaces that have inadequate lighting, or even, you know, not even just the a building, you know, an architectural space, but also even outside, which is part of our environment that we interact with. So there's a lot to be said there. In it kind of helped develop a passion.
The second decision, the faculty advising, was also easy for her. Tahar Masadi is an associate professor in the Faye Jones School of Architecture, and he pays special attention to the role of lighting in architecture. Lighting is a far more important element in a space's usefulness than many people consciously consider.
Just imagine, you know, this room in the middle of the night. There is nothing. Pitch black. You will not recognize this room. You will not make any significance of this to this room in terms of how you perceive the walls. Everything is even. The moment you turn the light on, suddenly we see a particular condition of this room, which is very distinct from one next door. What makes those distinctions is the light. It's the culprit, if you will. So it seems to me very fundamental to idea of making space and designing spaces, lighting is intrinsic. It's unavoidable.
And as the American population becomes older, lighting considerations for navigation in buildings will become even more important. Elizabeth Phillips hopes the research she started at the university can be used to help establish regulations and guidelines in the future. And she credits her decision to enroll as an honors student at the University of Arkansas to give her the opportunity to follow a passion,
which really has opened some doors. And it does for honor students to be able to start to explore things that they are interested in other than what the course itself offers. That has been actually, not to sound completely nerdy, but that has actually been kind of fun because I got to explore some things that were of an interest to me. Like in the history courses with Dr. Goodstein Murphy and Dr. Sexton, I got to explore some things in Japanese architecture, and we only focus on that in a very minimal, you know, portion of our studies, and so it really helps to develop relationships with the faculty that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Elizabeth Phillips and Associate Professor Tahar Masadi are working closely on her research. He says working with an engaged student is as beneficial to his experience at university as hers. He says there is a common metaphor that an instructor is a full jug, pouring his or her knowledge into the student, who is an empty jug. Tahar says that scenario is completely flawed.
We're both have full jugs, except that hers is probably a red one, and mine is blue. And what we're trying to do is mix the two of them together. That's what learning is all about. That's where passion then begins to grow at the student level, is the idea that you have to look at that individual as a well of knowledge also. You cannot just, you know, assume this unidirectional, if you will, rapport. I think it's if you will, very limiting in the a creative thinking of the student. You've got to have him or her as your participant in the quest for any issue that you make.
Elizabeth Phillips continues her research this semester at the University of Arkansas while finishing her work in the Faye Jones School of Architecture. Next week on Ozarks at Large, another undergraduate honors student's research into how a popular game may give some insight into attention spans. That's next week on Ozarks at Large.
And now a chance to win two tickets to Malco Theaters.
You can use them at any Malco Theater in the area. You have to know, though, or have to at least guess the correct answer to today's question.
Mm-hmm.
It's April Fool's Day.
It is.
A day for fun and pranks and jokes.
Good ones, though.
Right. So today's trivia question involves one of the all-time great American jokesters.
Okay.
Groucho Marx.
Huh.
One of the Marx brothers. And it's a simple question. What is Groucho Marx's real first name?
Oh.
What was the name he was given at birth? Is it George? Is it Julius? Or is it Giuseppe?
If you think you have the answer, then give us a call at 1-800-522-5823.
That's right. So is it George, Julius, or Giuseppe that Groucho Marx's real name? Good luck. This is Ozarks at Large, and it's time to answer our question from about 5 minutes ago. The question was, what is in honor of April Fool's Day, because he is one of our great American jokesters, or was, what is the real name for Groucho Marx? And the choices were Giuseppe, Julius, or George?
And the answer is Julius.
Julius. He was born Julius Henry Groucho Marx.
Yep.
So there you go. What's your favorite Groucho Marx line?
I don't think I have one.
I shot an elephant once in my pajamas. How that elephant got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
Nice.
Yes. So now, everyone who answered correctly.
Yes.
We've taken your name.
Mm-hmm, and we will put it in our brand new ceramic cow, which I am very happy to say that we got from a Mark Landon Smith of Arts Life Theater and Ceramic Cow Productions.
Right. So we now have a ceramic cow. The wooden chicken has retired to New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I think we should name the cow like Cece or something.
For ceramic cow?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Why not?
Very good. Hey, we have some breaking news for this first day of April. A report that has just come in. Earlier this week, a Carroll County resident contacted one of our reporters, Jacqueline Froelich, with news of an astonishing discovery. He would not divulge his findings, but rather he invited Jacqueline to hike with him yesterday to a remote site west of Eureka Springs to record the event.
So it's Thursday afternoon, early afternoon. It's raining out. And I'm hiking in a hollow with Mr. Maxwell, and he claims to have found something remarkable in this place. Okay. Oh, it's so pretty here.
So this is what I wanted to show you. I've been coming down here hunting and fiddling around and got thirsty one day and bent down in here to cut my hands and gather up some water, and look what I'm finding. So I gathered some up, took them into a mineral dealer friend of mine, and he says, "You got some gold on your hands."
So who owns this property?
Well, I went down the courthouse and done a search on it. Turns out it goes way back to about the 1880s, and there was an operation called the Blue Spring Mineral Company, and I'm reckoning that's where this here gold's coming from, is that old claim.
A search of the deed records in the Western District Courthouse indicates a Blue Spring Mining Company did purchase up the mineral rights on this parcel in Carroll County back in the 1880s. The springs of Eureka were first discovered in 1858 by Dr. Alva Jackson. He claimed the water to be medicinal. Thousands fled disease-ridden urban areas to come to Eureka to take the waters. Soon it was bottled and shipped all over the region under the label Ozarka. And a chemical analysis conducted way back then yielded a blend of minerals, mostly calcium carbonates, but no precious metals were ever detected in the water until now. So why do you think this gold's only surfaced now? I mean, no one's ever found this or talked about it. Is it and it's been documented anywhere?
Well, the only way I can figure it is when people first got here, things were pretty much normal. They started disturbing it, taking their trees down and building things and putting in their roads, and things started fallen and eroding into these kind of places, and it just took a good while for it to erode off and start showing what was underneath it in the first place. Somehow they missed it, and I'm glad they did.
Of course, in order to mine any mineral, claims have to be registered with the state and surface operations monitored by the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality.
So, what are you going to do next?
I'm not really sure. This here's a quagmire. You don't want to turn this kind of information loose. They'll be turning these hills upside down and then some to find out what else is going on here. I figure I need to figure out if it's really gold and how much there might be in there, and I don't know, figure out whether it should be a secret or not, or I don't know, folks could use a good strike these days, including myself.
This possible discovery of gold in the Ozarks would be a first. Some silver and a great deal of lead were mined here around the turn of the 20th century, but all of it eventually played out. And crude oil was once thought to be bubbling beneath Eureka Springs. In the 1920s, a speculator even sold stock in a venture called Surepop Oil Company. Operators even constructed an oil derrick, but it was torched under mysterious circumstances. So with this new discovery, what's at stake? I looked it up. The price of gold reached a record high last week, $1,447 an ounce. Following two straight weeks of record gains, the gold price retreated a bit and now hovers around $1,400 an ounce. And this pearl-shaped chunk of ore that I'm holding easily weighs close to a pound. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
That story filed for this first day of April 2011 edition of Ozarks at Large from Jacqueline Froelich, with cooperation from Christopher Maxwell Fisher, Eureka Springs preservationist.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Napoleon.
That's right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Big week of new shows next week.
Yes.
Don't forget, every day at noon and 7. Plus, Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar joins me Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Have a great day.